This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast, Scott Becker Private Equity Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Shion Carroll. Shion's a brilliant investment banker, thinker, restructurer, brilliant person. He's going to talk today about some of the trends he's seeing in the private equity world and what's going on and so forth. Shion, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Scott, it's a delight to be with you again. I am, and this is one of the first times I can say it because it's so new, I am a partner with Paladin, and this is a move, as I said, which I made recently, and I specialize in M&A, both healthy and distressed, and Paladin is a broad platform, both for M&A and for restructuring, as well as for process improvement.
And take a moment and talk about dislocation in the market, dislocation amongst companies in the market entirely. We've got this really strange happening in America right now. If you're part of the asset owning class, you've done very well through the pandemic. Real estate and equities have gone up. If you're not part of the asset sort of class, asset holding class or the capital class, you know, and 40% plus of people are not really, or very to a very small degree, you've done poorly through the pandemic. Talk about dislocation in the market and what companies need and what you're seeing. Give us some sense of what you're seeing out there.
Absolutely. You put your finger on it. The key word is dislocation. There's an expression which always makes me uneasy. People talk about after the pandemic, there's going to be the new normal. And if they just mean that there'll be something new after the pandemic, well, that I agree with. But if they think it's going to be normal, I think that they are making a very bad mistake, whether it's on an individual level or whether it is for a particular business, because the dislocation is going to be tremendous. And you're already seeing that. Lenders tell me, for example, and PE, that they look at a business pre-COVID, COVID, and post-COVID. Frankly, I think the most important thing is post-COVID, and the other two categories are less important. And what you're seeing is that things will not return to what they were, number one. And number two, there is going to be a lot more dislocation. We're going to be further away from spaces than we ever were in the past. And that means that there is both existential danger, whether it's for PE or for businesses, and there's also great opportunity. And that, I think, is the great challenge that faces PE. How will they deal with that? For example, I'll just give you one example, substitution effect. Will cars become more important than airplanes for a while until business travel returns to what it is now? Maybe it will never return to what it is now. What will happen to cities? What will happen to real estate?
Yeah, what will happen to some of these things? I mean, I was reading this morning that like airport retail, which had become a sector, is now $3.4 billion in 2021.
Right.
Obviously, the airline industry is still down at 50% where they were in terms of air travel day. It's at 2 million travels a day. It's a million travels a day. The some of these other areas, the real estate in the suburbs, which was really in trouble, has then in the last year gone way up, where some of the real estate in the city, which had been in high demand, is now a little bit not in as high a demand. What is going to happen with some of these things? What does that mean for you professionally? What does it mean for private equity funds? What are some of the things that you're following?
Well, let me talk. You mentioned retail. So let's consider retail then. I remember when I was a child, small child, my mother ordered from a place called Suburban Provision. And she would call them up and then they would deliver the groceries. And as we got older, that became such a thing of the past, you know, to call into a store and they delivered to you. And it became supermarkets, much cheaper. You could go in a vast selection. Well, that has changed during COVID. And people are used to getting deliveries now. So there will be a change in that retail. I believe that the consumer desire for convenience will continue. That will have an effect. You will have You mentioned about suburbs. The same thing will be, it'll flow through retail, it'll flow through real estate. The malls, we all know that it's over-malled, and we know that malls are going out of business. The ones with really that deal with the high brands will do fine. Some of those which are really at the lower end, which can be purely commodity, they will struggle more. And certain the tweeners will be hurt. Now, what I think for private equity and for businesses generally, the key differentiator I hear when I speak to private equity is I divide them up into the people who are looking for, to use a basketball analogy, they're looking for a slam dunk. And I often speak to them. They want a deal which is going to just be a thing of beauty and will have a tremendous return. They are having a lot of trouble now. There still will be those who will have the slam dunks, but there's a lot of money chasing the same opportunities. And if I would use one word to describe PE today, I would say it would be surprised. It's the word I hear over and over from PE. They are surprised. What are they surprised at? They're surprised at how quickly business has bounced back. And therefore, they're all chasing the same opportunities. To continue the basketball analogy, the PE firms that interest me more, and I think there will be more and more opportunity for them because of the dislocation, are those, to continue the basketball analogy, are those who are prepared to make the extra pass or two to get an open look at the basket.
And what is that going to look like? So what's happened is, obviously, I was looking this morning, $7.4 trillion is now invested in private funds somehow or another. $2 to $3 trillion is sitting on the sidelines ready to be deployed. And does this mean that asset values and the cost of entry is going to be so crazy? Is that going to lead to traders or builders of businesses? What does that look like to you?
I am obsessed with exactly the same thing as you are. If you look at SPACs, for example, people see the money pouring into SPACs. And that is only a fraction of what it will entail in terms of buying up businesses in the future. Because the SPAC is only, when they raise the money, that's only the start. Then they turn to pipe deals. And so if you see $1 billion in SPACs today, that really is a multiple. It's $6, $7, $8 million that will flow into those acquisitions. Now you have to then make a differentiation between the larger companies, especially those who are public and have access to the public debt markets, that they are going to be awash in capital and the competition is going to be absolutely ferocious over there. The companies that are private are going to have a totally different future. I believe that they're going to have increased competition because to the extent that they compete against larger companies, the ones that could be acquired by a SPAC, just for example, or that can access the public markets, will have a lot more capital to compete against them. The only thing that mitigates it somewhat, and this is what many people in private equity, when I say about making the extra pass, they feel that the venture capital will focus on the very big brands and on more on consumer goods, on the classic areas, and they feel that they will, by making the extra pass, they will find areas that will not be overwhelmed by this flood of capital.
Sure. And some of the great fears today, I mean, no matter what business you're in, it's the flood of capital, the two or three different pieces that go with that. One is it's almost like being at a card table. If somebody else has so much more capital than you, it's hard to be at that card table. You have to be so careful when you're betting. And this is the divergence between large funds and small funds and so forth. And then in terms of companies, you know, the great nightmare for any company is that pick one of them, Google, Amazon, Apple's come after your business, and then you got to figure out how you're going to compete. And so it's that extra pass. It's finding those niches that are big enough to do well in and to scale, but not so big they become a total target for the Amazons of the world or other investors. But it's really just trying to find that right spot, those right niches. And you use the word an extra pass. It's trying to find those spots in the market where they're great. There's enough opportunity to grow something big, and you could then trade later on to somebody bigger. But that there's some, you know, it's not something that is being attacked by the Amazons of the world.
I would give a piece of advice to PE, which would apply just as equally to my clients, who are the entrepreneurs and business owners of the world. It's really broaden your horizons. And I'm doing a deal at the moment. It's the longest deal that I've ever done. It's gone on for a few years, which is very, very unusual. And it had some hair on. But why is it working now? We've now signed the deal and we're about to close. We'll probably be never discussed in the press because there is hair on it and we don't want to get it into the press. But why it's going to work is that the PE firm that we found has made the extra pass, has got, to use the other phrase, they broadened their horizons. They had found the company whom I represent, and then they found a company on another continent. And they are going to combine these two companies. So they have broadened their geographic horizon, and they've also broadened their horizon. Normally, they don't look at deals that have hair on. That's not their expertise. But they realized if they took a broader view of their general mandates, this would be a good opportunity for them. And that's what I really would encourage PE firms to do. And I'd encourage you, ask me, what does it mean for professionals? What does it mean for clients? I would really emphasize broaden your horizons. If you're a client, don't go just to professionals who are peddling one service. Scott, you said at the beginning, there's such dislocation. If there's such dislocation, you need professionals who have these broader horizons, who are aware of opportunities overseas, who can offer different services. Maybe they just need process improvement. Maybe they do need a sale. But don't go to somebody who's going to just jam one solution down your throat. It's like somebody, if they have, let's say somebody has a medical ailment. They don't immediately just go to a surgeon and only to a surgeon, because even if the surgeon is a good person and is honest, the surgeon knows how to cut. So the chances are the person is going to end up on the operating table. It might be the correct solution, but nobody does that. You first go to a regular general doctor, then go to a specialist, maybe then you go to a surgeon, you get a few opinions. And I find that clients tend not to do that. And when you ask, what does it mean on a professional level, with this dislocation, I would say to professionals, offer your clients multiple options, have an international reach. And to clients, I would say, don't just rush to somebody who's going to peddle one service to you. And to PE, I would say, do the same thing, just like I'm talking to the clients and professionals. Broaden your horizon. Look at different opportunities. Be a little more flexible so that you're not just trying to get the slam dunk.
No, we love that perspective. Certainly, time and time again, we've seen where people go to one certain type of investment banker, all those the investment banker knows is these set of contacts, goes to those contacts. And often a broader approach, a different approach. In your case, it might be, can we do something to fix things before we bring it to market, whatever it might be, is really a great piece of advice. Shion, I want to thank you for joining us as always. Congratulations on your relocation. Tell the audience again where they could find Shion Carroll.
You can find me on my new email, which is SKAROL at Paladin, PALADIN MGMP.com. Scott. Absolute delight being with you. It's always interesting and just a pleasure.
Sean, thank you very much as always. Great to visit with you, sir.